Right. Good morning. Hey, thanks so much for being here this morning. And I've missed you guys. You know, it seemed we missed a week, but it seemed like forever since we've been together. So I'm glad that you're here this morning. And we're beginning a brand new series today called I Quit. And I think this is going to be just one of those kind of pivotal series that we're going to look back on and just know that God really did some really cool stuff in a lot of people's lives. Because there's good news and bad news to this, all right? So here's the good news, that we have the opportunity to see lives changed in just great ways. We have an opportunity for us to allow God to do something miraculous in our lives. Each one of us in here today have, through this, are going to be able to hear God's word, and we're going to be able to just have this one-on-one time with God and just have the opportunity for Him to blow us away. Here's the bad news. Some of us in here, though we have that opportunity, we're going to make excuses and we're going to completely miss it. It's going to happen. It happens all the time. We have all kinds of opportunities that come our way, but we end up making excuses about why we can't do it and why we can't do that, we can't do this, we can't find a way for that to happen, and it's just impossible, it's just never going to work that way. And so we make excuses for it, and we totally miss out on what God wants to do in our lives. It just happens. It's happened in my life. If we're all honest in the room, it's happened in all of our lives. We've had opportunities, and we've found a way to make an excuse to be able to miss out on what God wanted to do. It just happens. So here's the kind of where we need to begin right now. We need to maybe look at how we don't make those kind of excuses anymore. All right, so that's where we're going to start. I quit making excuses. That's where we're going to begin this whole series. This is where we're going to kind of start off 2017 with about how can we allow God to do all that He wants to do in our lives and us not get in the way. It's going to be a challenge because we're really good at it. I might be the king of it. And so I've really had to deal with all of that this week as I've been preparing and just, you know, really for 2 weeks now, because this was supposed to be last week. I guess I was making too many excuses, and God said, "No, no, 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 big boy, you got to go another week." So anyway, so here we are, ready to get into this, because the reality is that if this time of year, you know, if I ask you if you wanted to change something different, you know, to change some things in your life, to have some things different, it's the new year, right? This is just when we do it. We come up with resolutions, and we come up with things that we want to be different, and we say we're going to start. Things out fresh, and we're going to do, it's just that time of year. You know, some of us want to lose weight, some of us want to read our Bibles more, some of us, you know, we want to spend more time with our families, whatever. There's just all kinds of things that we say that we want to do, but we often let ourselves get in the way, and then often, here there's a bigger truth at work in it. Because as soon as you decide that something needs to change, there's another force that kind of goes to work and gets in the way of it. And here's the truth. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write this down. As soon as I decide to be different, Satan gives me excuses to stay the same. As soon as you make a decision for whatever it is that needs to be different, you say, you know what, I'm going to do that. And Satan comes along and he gives you all these excuses about why you should stay the same. It happens all the time. You know, whether it's things that we need to do for ourselves physically to be better, whether it's emotionally or mentally or just what he just is really good at helping us find ways to be tripped up and not follow through with what it is that God wants us to do. And so we need to say it, get it out there, that there is something at work, something at work every time we want to change. And you and I have to make a choice. Are we going to buy those excuses or are we going to accept the truth? Are you going to give in to the excuses? Are you going to accept the truth and let it change you? In the Bible, there's this really kind of cool illustration of this. It's found in the book of Luke Luke chapter 14, and it really helps us to be able to see this. It says this in verse 16. It says, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" But verse 18 says, "But they all alike began to make excuses." You ever had a party? Or you ever put on something and you invited a bunch of people and like not many people came? Yeah, kind of do that every Sunday sometimes. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But maybe this message is really one we need to hear when it comes to that. Because we put on a party, we invite a bunch of people, and then everybody finds a reason not to come. I got that, and whatever. This guy puts on a huge banquet. I mean, it's a big deal. He puts on the big banquet, invites all these people, and immediately they begin to find a reason not to go. Some of them are pretty interesting. One guy said, "Listen, I just bought a field and I need to go out and look at it." Like, why couldn't he do that the next day? Why couldn't he do it on another day? You know, if it was church, why couldn't he have done that on Saturday rather than Sunday? It's kind of interesting how that works out sometimes. But then there was another guy who said, "I bought a bunch of ox and I need to go out and I need to try them out." Again, he couldn't wait a day. Like, it was free food. You know, like, what's up with that? There's another guy who said, "Listen, I just got married and I need to go and you know, bring her on and enjoy the free stuff and then go home and whatever, you know, enjoy your marriage, your honeymoon." There's all kinds of things to this story where people came up with reasons. They kind of go on and on. These invitations were sent out, but then all the excuses began to come back. I kind of experienced something like that this week. I have a membership at a gym here in town, and I went. I went, had lunch, met another pastor for lunch in Locust, and then I had run into Walmart there, and I was checking out, and there at the Subway was the guy who owns the gym that I still have a membership at. And so I felt like, y'all, when you go to the restaurant and you skip church, and there I sit in there eating lunch, you know? I was kind of like, well, what do I know I could duck this way. He'd never see me. I'm like, man, I just can't do that, you know? Because what if I duck and get halfway out and he sees me, you know? So I went over and said hey to him and kind of went through the whole process. But I'm like, you know, I told him, I said, man, I feel like a church member who skipped church and just ran into me at the restaurant. It's like, it's just funny, you know, because you got that little guilt thing going on. So what I immediately began to do with him, though, is I began to make all these excuses about why I hadn't been to the gym. You know, I drive by it all the time. You know, it's open 24 hours a day. I can go in anytime I want with the swipe of a card. But I got excuses why I can't go to the gym, right? So it happens. We all do it. But this guy, he puts on this party and invites all these people, and then they don't come. But they got all these reasons why they aren't coming. And so you and I are really good at that. We make resolutions. You know, gyms are full of people right now. You know, and in a month they won't be. You know, I used to manage health clubs, and people would just get so mad at me in January. Had to go through the whole cycle. I'd have to gear myself up because I knew all the complaints were coming. I can't use this. I can't use that. I say, oh, please, just hang on 1 month, and it'll all be back. It'll all be yours again. Just hang on, because it's going to happen. But we make excuses, or we make resolutions. We put all these things in place that we're gonna make changes, but it never happens. And here's why it never happens. We talked about this in a series not too long ago, but it really comes down to the difference between good intentions, which most of us have, and God intentions. Good intentions are those things that are centered around us, and they're things that we say we want to be different. But God intentions are the things that we realize God wants to do different in us. And that there is a bigger reason than just us that they need to change. Because, see, a lot of us say, you know, we want to lose weight, but then the reason that we want to lose weight is because we want to fit into our little jeans and we want to look really nice in them, right? And we want We want people to notice and all of those things. But the truth is that God wants us to all be healthy too. But it's not so we look cute in our jeans. It's because we're his temple and he wants his temple to glorify him. You know, I just keep telling him, God, but I keep adding square footage. This thing's getting big and you know, it's going to really honor you. But he's not buying it. So I guess I'm going to have to do something. So, but the truth is that we have this ability to be able to have a choice between intentions that are just good for us and centered around us, or to choose God intentions, which will help us to look beyond the small picture and see the big picture. And so I want to ask you a couple questions to help us begin to look at this. And so here's the first one. What does God want to be different in your life this year? Because see, you've been asking yourself, what do I want to be different? Well, you know, what is it that you want different in your own life? But let's take it a big picture, you know, a step up to a bigger picture and say, what does God want to be different in your life? Because oftentimes we look at what we want to be different, but that's what helps us. But when we look at what God wants to be better in our lives, all of a sudden we begin to not only things to be better for us, but they're better for everybody else around us. And we begin to see things from his perspective. What is it that God wants to be different in your life? The one who created you, the one that has a plan for you. What is it that he wants to be different about you? I think it's one of those things we have to stop. And, you know, on your program there, you've got some lines where you can actually write down some things. For some of us, we probably don't have to think very much about it. He's been talking to us about it, and we can write it right in. Some of us maybe need to pray about that. But those, I put blanks there specifically for you to be able to write some things down. Now, if you want to write it down now and you don't want your neighbor to know, you can just write private. That's okay. You know, there's nosy people in here. They want to know what's up with you. You know, I'm joking. But you know what? But here's the thing. If the person beside you doesn't write anything, congratulations, you're sitting beside Jesus, right? If you don't have anything that needs to be different, gosh, you must be perfect. The reality of all of it is that we all have those things. What is it that God wants to do different in your life this year? What does he want to change to put you in a place where he can use you the way that he created you? I look around and I see such gifts and abilities and just awesome people. And I'm thinking, God wants to do something really cool in your life and you just don't know it yet. You know, it just, like, I'm sometimes like a kid at Christmas waiting for, you know, you to see what God wants to do in your life, because I get to see it from a big perspective and I'm like, he's ready to just use you and you just have no clue yet. You know, and so what is it that he wants to do in your life to allow you to be all that he wants you to be? What is it? Second question is this. Why does he want that area of your life to be different? Why does he want it to be different? Well, why is it that he has come to this place to help you understand that there's something that needs to change? Why does he want to see that different? Why? I think for those of us that see areas like that, that say, you know, I know God wants to do it, but we still go back to the good intention versus the God intention. And sometimes we see it from a whole different perspective. Some of you may say, you know what, in 2017, I want to get out of debt. I want to reduce my debt. I want to get out of it. I want to be able to be more generous. I want to be free with that. But I know debt's bad. But you know, that's what needs to happen. And so you're thinking, you know, I'm like, if I said, well, why do you want to get out of debt? Why is it that you want to be debt free, or why is it that you want to have those things? You would probably say, well, you know, debt's just bad. And I need to save some money. I know that. And I really want a boat, so I'm going to save so I can go buy that boat, you know? Debt is bad, and boats aren't bad. Those are good, but the reality is that when it comes down to it, that we can't just have this perspective, okay, well, I'm going to save money so I can do something for me with it. God's why is bigger than that for us. It's so that we can be more generous. It's so that we can be able to help people when we see needs. It's so that we can be involved in helping meet the needs of those around us. It's a bigger thing than just us being able to benefit from it. Some may say, well, you know what? I know what God wants me to do. He wants me to read the Bible this year. And I'm like, well, why is it? Well, he wants me to know more about him, which is a good thing. And that could be the why behind it. But I think if we're really going to look at it, there is a bigger why. The why may be you need to read your Bible because he wants to use you in a leadership position to help other people grow as well. There may be a bigger why than just one that just helps benefit you. It may be so that others are benefited as well. Why is it that God wants to change that area of your life? What does he want to do different? What's God calling you to do? Maybe it's that he wants you to get involved in a ministry. So you begin to look at it and see, okay, well, he wants me to get into a ministry. Well, why does he want you to be involved in a ministry? It's not so your name will be on a wall somewhere or on a website as with a title. It's not so any of those things. You know, it's so that he can use the gifts that you have, that you've been given by him, to grow that ministry and to minister to those people that are going to be influenced through that. Some of you have some amazing gifts that you just aren't using. And I would say that he wants to use it not to lift you up, but to lift him up, to glorify him and to point other people to him. Those are areas that we can be grown in, and things that he can do to help us become all of those things, to live out this purpose that we have. But what do we often do when we find out he wants to do something? We make excuses. It always comes back to why we can't do what it is that he wants to do. So let me spend the last little bit of our time here just talking about how do we quit making excuses. How is it that we finally can get past it? The Bible tells an account in the Old Testament that deals with Moses. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, it's the moment where God tells Moses that he wants to use him to free the Israelites after all these years of bondage to the Egyptians, this slavery that they've been under and all of this. And God tells Moses that he's the one that he's going to use to do it. And he wants him to go and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. I want you to go do this. You're the man. You're the point guy. We're going to use you. I'm going to use you to do that. And guess what Moses does? Same thing that we do. He makes excuses. Check it out. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. God has said to him, "You're the guy, Moses." But then Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." First thing Moses does is he gives this whole list of things that he can't do. This whole reason, here's why, God, I can't do that because I'm slow to speak. I'm bad at this. You know, I'm not a public speaker. Makes me about pee my pants, God. Don't make me do that. You know, some of you, if I was to pull you up here and tell you you had to speak, you would panic and freeze up. You know, but if I pulled you up here because God said that, hey, so-and-so is supposed to come up here and speak, then there's a reason why you're supposed to come up here and speak. And for Moses, it was that he was the guy that was supposed to go and lead his people out of this situation. Moses was responding to God's challenge in the way that we so often do that. I was telling somebody this week about how I ended up getting called into ministry and then how I ended up becoming a speaking pastor and teaching and all of that. It wasn't because that was what I always wanted to do. It wasn't even what I thought I was going to do. It's not even close. It still kind of surprises me and blows me away. But what happened was I was going to be a campus pastor where we showed a video of the preaching, and all I had to do was stand up and say good morning and goodbye, basically. It was kind of simple. But God got me to say yes to that so that then when all the video stuff didn't work and it just wasn't happening, that eventually I would realize that if it's going to get done, I got to do it. Because halfway through the message, the DVD player just stopped. I'm like, what do you do with that? So I had to finish the message out. And from there, Bobby can attest, and Kelly, that from there, that's where it went. And it was really, you think it's bad now, you should have seen it then. It was really rough. But God's kind of, you know, I guess he's made me a little bit better. But had I known, I was telling the guy this week who I was talking to about it, I said, had I known in the beginning that this is what he would ask me to do, I'm pretty sure I'd have found a way not to do it. Because it wasn't me. It wasn't what I wanted to do. It wasn't what I thought I was capable of doing. It wasn't even close. But because God took me there and he began to show me and he began to encourage me and he began to put people around me to help me with it and to grow in it, that it became obvious that that was what his plan was, and it was bigger than me. And for some of us, there's things like that we're like Moses, and he said, listen, this is what I want you to do. It's what I know that your life is meant for, and I want you to take these steps. And you're saying, but God, you know. There's some really cool scriptures that start out, but God. And it's because God, we realize how awesome God is and the steps that he took. But some of us use that but God phrase to get out of doing what God wants. But God, I can't do that. But God, that means I'm going to have to do this. But God, that means I'm going to have to go there. But God, come on, but God, you know. Y'all have heard that voice in your head, haven't you? We tend to run from it. And Moses did the same thing. He was looking at his own limited abilities instead of the incredible unlimited abilities of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of the universe. Verse 11 says this, the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? The Lord said, who gave the man his mouth to speak with? Who did it? God did, right? God did it. Who decides whether we're blind or we can see? God. Who decides whether we can hear and whether we can speak? It's God, right? And he reminded Moses in those moments that I'm the one who determines whether you can even speak at all, whether you can speak well or not. I just take care of whether you can or can't. It's not up to you. It's up to me. He says it's me that allows these things to happen. And Moses, if you're not paying attention, listen, what have I already done? I've already made these things happen. And so I gotta encourage you to think about whatever God's asking you to do and wants you to do, and you're saying, but God, I can't do that. Listen, think about what he can do and what he's already done. Some of us are thinking that our marriages can't be fixed and healed. But what's he already done? He's the one who decides whether people can see or not. I think he can fix a marriage. I'm pretty sure. Some of us think we've got something in our lives that we just can't overcome. I don't know about you, but I read where he healed people who were blind, where they couldn't walk. He gave them their hearing back, and he brought them back from the dead. I'm pretty sure that he can help you and I get over whatever it is that we're going through. We've discounted him so much because of what we think we can do. But listen, it's not about what we can do. It's about what he can do and what he's already done. I love when God asked the prophet Jeremiah, he's like, is anything too hard for me? And you got to ask yourself that. Is there anything too hard for God? I promise you've said that there is. Because we've all done it. We've all said that's impossible. It'll never happen. Some of you sitting here are impossibilities in other people's lives where they've said it just can't happen. And God's done it. Do you really not believe that God who has done all those things can't do the things that he's asking you to do. They can't do it through you and in you. You sometimes I really struggle with patience. I don't have a lot of it sometimes. I always joke that's why I don't golf and that's why I don't fish and hunt and all that. I just don't have patience for it. You know, I figured out about golf, I can get really mad for free. You know? So I've joked about that. But I'm not a very patient person in other ways. And I'm not very patient in how he grows the church. I wish he would grow it faster and reach more people and all of those things. I wish that there were things that went faster, and it's hard for me to sit back and do it, and so it's hard for me to experience patience. But listen, if he's said that if I have a relationship with him, that he's the one who gives patience. It's a fruit of that relationship with him. So if it's a fruit of the relationship and I have a relationship with him, then I shouldn't have to doubt whether I can have it or not. I should be able to trust him because he's the one who said it's part of knowing him. It's part of him moving in me and living in me. Some of us are not allowing things to happen because we're doubting it. Verse 12, God says this. I love this part. Now go. Now go. Say that with me. Now go. One more time, say it. Now go. Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. Some of us need to understand that he says, just go. This is what I want you to do, just go. And I'll do it. I'll say what needs to be said through you. I will do what needs to be done through you. I just need you to go. Just need you to do it. There's two things that I think come out of this that you and I have just got to grasp. The first one is this: do what you can do. Do what you can do. We're missing out on so much that God wants to do because we just won't even do what we can do on our own strength. There's so many things that we can do that we've refused to do that has allowed us to miss out on so many blessings that God has for us. Listen, anybody can open up their Bible and read it. You can do that. You don't need some holy intervention to just open up the Bible and read it. Some of you say, well, if God wants me to read the Bible, he'll open it up for me. Don't ask him. I mean, he might open it up to a place that you really don't want him to. You better open it up and read it where you're at and let him speak to you there, because he opens it where it needs to be opened. You might not like that part. But there's things that you and I can just do that we're not doing. So today I just want to invite you, when it comes to to getting rid of these excuses, listen, just do what you can do. Don't say what you can't do. Say what you can do and do it. It's so easy for us to just find all these reasons why we can't. But just figure out why you can and do that. That's pretty easy for us to do that. Someone once said that delayed obedience is disobedience. When you put it off, when you know you should just go do it, you know, that's the same as being disobedient. If God says do it, then you need to do it. I'm guilty just like anybody else. And you know how we do it as Christians? You know how we delay obedience as Christians? It's funny. It's really funny. We say this: well, I'll pray about that. Like we're some super spiritual beings. Don't pray about that. If you know God wants you to do it, you don't need to pray about it. Just do it. It's just fun. It's funny how we come up with these things that keep us from just doing the simple things that we can do. You don't have to pray about some things. Just do it. People pray about getting in better shape. Like, he just wants us to. You know, I caught myself. I'm praying, asking God to help me get up in the mornings to do it. Just set your alarm and get your big butt up out of the bed. You know what I mean? It's not that hard. Some of us are asking him to do things where, you know, we just need to do it. Put the Twinkies down and get going. That's what we got to do. So If you need some help, put your Twinkies in the offering plate today. I'll give them to somebody that needs them, and we'll be better, I guess. I don't know. You know, bring them to the altar. Today we're taking Twinkies to help you get in better shape. Whatever it takes, if that's what you got to do, do it. But do what you can do. Some of you, we don't need to pray about talking to the person we work beside about telling them about our faith in Christ. We've already been told. Now go. Go and make disciples. We don't have to pray about that. Really, you don't have to pray about it. Just do it. Don't go try to tell them. Don't try to explain the whole Trinity to them. Go tell them what you do know, that God changed you and that you're different. And you know what? They can experience that too. Tell them what you know. You don't have to get into all of the whole big deal. When they start asking you questions you don't know, you know what your answer is? You know what? I don't know about all that, but here's what I do know. He changed me. And if you got to say that 100 times, I don't know all of that, but all I know is that when I asked him to change me, he did. And I know that if you ask him, he'll change you too. That's it. That's what you can do. It's what I can do. We don't need to ask him about those things. God said to Moses, now go. When you go, I'll take care of the rest. Because here's the second part of that. Do what you can do and trust God to do what you cannot do. You do what you can do, and then trust him to do what you can't do. You can give him your list. It's okay to give God your list of why you can't. Just don't give it in the form of an excuse. God, I can't speak very well, but I'm asking you to speak through me. God, I don't have a lot of money to give to those things, but I'm asking you to show me what I do have, what I can't, you know, what you want me to give, and then help me. I'm trusting you to do that the rest through me. God, I don't know how to do certain things, but God, you just show me. I don't know how to teach kids. I don't even really like them. But God, I can't, and you know I don't. But God, I know they've got a need in our kids program, and we need people to step up. And so God, I'll go do it, and you do through me whatever I can't do myself. Trust him. I was speaking with somebody this week. You know, we always use that. That formula, that time plus truth equals trust. And it takes time of the truth to get to where you can trust somebody or something. God certainly has time and truth on all of us, right? Does anybody not believe that God from all of this time has been true? I mean, he's proven himself over and over and over again in your lives. I can look around and I can almost tell all the stories, you know, at least one or two very critical stories that help me understand that you know that there's been a bunch of truth for a long time in your life. And so God is somebody that you can trust. So trust him. Trust him to be the one who does through you what only he can do. He says, go. I'll speak through you and I'll do through you. You just go. I believe that when the church gets the reality of this message of just go and just let me do whatever needs to be done through you, you just be willing to go, that when that happens, man, we won't be able to put out the fire. We won't be able to see them all. We won't be able to, it'll be crazy if we ever get to the place where we just say, you know what, God, I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to trust you to do what I cannot do. And man, I'm ready, but I'm available. I'm here. I'm yours. The saying, you know, you do the natural and let God do the supernatural. You just do what you can do. Use what you know you already have and watch him do something supernatural through it. Something that blows you away and amazes you. I get to experience it every week. Because I don't, you know, I just do what I can do. I don't feel like I have a lot to give. I don't have a lot to bring. But God somehow brings me and puts me here and gives me the message to speak. And then it's amazing. It blows me away and it humbles me beyond what I could ever explain to any of you. But it's only because I just do what I can do, and I trust Him completely to do what I can't do. If I could change all of your lives, I would wave my hand over, and we would all drive Lexuses and live in big houses. No, not really. We would all be joyful, peaceful, patient. We would be those fruits of the Spirit for sure. But I can't do that for you. I can only do what I can do and trust Him to do what He can do. Those things that I absolutely can't. So today I want to encourage you. Are you ready to just quit? Quit finding reasons why God can't, you know, why you can't do what God asked you to do. He said this through Paul to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul's writing here and he's saying, but he said to me, he's talking about God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. That He absolutely, He loves us so much that he would give His Son for us to pay the price for our sins on a terrible, horrible cross. That He would bleed and die there on that cross to pay the penalty for you and me. That He would die there, being taken off, put into a borrowed tomb, and on the third day He would be raised from the dead. His grace that He would give His Son for us is sufficient. The price that was paid is sufficient. When we believe and we trust in Him, the price for our sin is paid and we are set free from the bondage of our sin. We're set free from what this world has against us. He did that for us. His grace was poured out so that you and I could be forgiven. We still look at Him and say, but God, I can't. God, I can't accept that. I can't believe that. Because if I believe that, that means I have to live like that. And, you know, if I live like that, then I'm going to miss out on that. And you know what? I like that because that makes me feel good. And that's really fun. And that's really, you know, people laugh at me and people like me when I do that. But listen, you know what? People like you when you do what God wants you to do even more. Because you're being truly who you were designed to be. Today, I want to invite you to quit making excuses with me. I want to invite you to quit saying to God, God, I just can't do that because if I do that, whatever. And I can't do that because of whatever. So just say, you know what, God, I'm going to do what I can do. And I'm going to trust you to do what I cannot do. That when I decide that I know that you want me to be different, I'm not going to listen to Satan's excuses anymore. I'm going to listen to your truth that I have seen exhibited over all of this time, and I'm going to trust you. Are you really ready to quit? Are you ready to quit making excuses? Would you pray with me? God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, forgive me when I make excuses that keep you and hinder you from doing all that you want to do through me. God, forgive me when I make excuses and do things that hinder you from allowing this church to be all that you want it to be. God, help me to do what I can do and help me to trust you to do what I can't. God, for those that are here this morning and those that will listen to this on the podcast, God, help us today to be able to trust you to do what you know that we can't do and be able to just do the things that you've already given us the ability to do. God, you've not called any of us to lead thousands and thousands of people out of bondage. You've not led us to go against a ruler. God, you have called us to lead people around us out of darkness just living out your word and sharing it with those around us. God, you have called us to love each other and to help each other grow spiritually and to grow in a relationship with you. So today, God, for those who've been making excuses of why they can't trust you and they can't accept you, may today be the day that they put those excuses to rest. That they accept your son Jesus as the sacrifice that was made for their sins, that they believe and trust upon him, and that, God, that they trust you to not only be their Savior, but to be their eternal Father. God, today I pray that you'll use us in whatever way that you need to use us, God, to minister to this community. God, there's ways that we can get out of this building into our community, but God, we got to quit making excuses about why we can't. Why we can't do this and why we can't do that. God, for some, we need to become more generous and be able to just be a part financially of what you're doing here. And we've been saying, but God, I can't. God, it's time to just say, you know what? I can do this. I may not be able to give all of that, but I can give this. I can trust you with this, God. And I can trust you that you'll take what's given and you'll do something greater with it. God, I know I sound pretty good in the shower, God. I know I sing pretty well, and you've given me the ability to do that, sound pretty good in my car. But God, I could never stand up in front of all those people and sing and do that. Today, you got to just trust God. If he's given you the ability to do something like that, you got to be able to trust him. And God, today, I pray that for those who would speak to you that way, who would say, but God, I know you've done this for me, but I can't do that. I can't do more with it. God, I pray that you would take those excuses and you would wipe them away. God, I pray that you would have freedom in this place today, that no excuses, no stumbling blocks, no hindrance, no nothing in the way, God, but just you to be able to be who you need to be in the lives of each of us. And the God, that we leave here different today. God, move during this song. Move in our hearts and our lives and bring us closer to you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.